Okay, good evening, everyone. It's good to be in the house of God. Amen. If you have your Bibles, take them to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to be simply looking at a few scriptures from 2 Peter chapter 1 and then chapter 3 and then going back to chapter 1 Peter chapter 1 or chapter 2, I should say. Second Peter chapter 1, beginning from verse 2. The Bible says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Go to chapter 3, and beginning from verse 18. "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Let's pray. With all heads bowed and eyes closed. Before we do pray, I want to ask a question. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, please, if you would. If you're here this night, and you can honestly say, I know for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, and I want you to be honest. I don't want you to just simply answer this question without thinking about it. Do you know 100% that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? You say, I know for sure. There was a moment in my life where I put my faith in the finished work of Christ, and I know my beloved is mine and I'm his. I know he's my dad. I know I have a relationship with him. That's me. If you can raise your hand, I want to see your hand. I want you to be honest. If you don't know for sure, then don't raise your hand, please. Leave your hands up, please. Okay, you may put them down. Now, there were a few people that couldn't raise their hand. And I know the desire of James and many others or the leaders here that you walk away from this camp knowing for sure that you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. That's their greatest desire. That's God's greatest desire. I pray with all my heart you'd grasp the message that God has for you and that you'd surrender your will and your way to his will and that you'd leave your life in his hands and that you may rest in his finished work. Let's pray. Father, we do ask and pray the blessing upon your word to these young people. I pray, Father, that you bind Satan far away from this place that he may not hinder the word of God. I just pray, Lord God, that your word may have free course in the hearts of the ones that are present here this night. Oh, dear God, I do ask and pray that those that are familiar with the gospel, familiar with these verses, that you smite their heart, that they have a refreshing moment, a reviving moment, not to treat the things of God common, casual, that they'll be real and revived in their lives also tonight. I do ask and pray, dear God, that you'd help those that do not know you as their Savior. I pray that you'd protect them from the cares of this life, choking the seed. I pray that you'd protect them from the scourging sun that it may of persecution. It may not destroy the seed. I pray, Father, that the seed, the Word of God, may have liberty tonight in their hearts. For the glory of God, for the sake of the gospel, and for their sake, dear God, in Jesus' name, amen. David Livingstone once said, I'll go anywhere provided it's forward. The same way you and I were saved by grace is the same way you and I should be growing by grace through faith. Many a times Christians treat their salvation in such a way where they have to maintain the gift that God has given them in certain practices or duties or rituals or things that would simply pertain to the Christian life, and find themselves to be burdened down or weight on their shoulders. And I want to remind you tonight that God has given you liberty in Christ not to continue to be burdened by rules and regulations or laws, but to continue to walk with Christ by grace through faith, and that the things that are pertaining to the Christian life will not be a burdensome to you, will be a pleasure to do for God's glory. But it's the way you perceive how you grow. We have instruction here saying that we need to grow by grace. The Bible says we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. You say, what's grace? Well, grace is given to you and me by God, His favor, His merited favor, to us when we didn't deserve it. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God extended His grace and His love for us, and that while we didn't deserve His love, He still gave it to us graciously. Not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible also says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He saved us. What's mercy? Well, that mercy is something that you withhold. God's judgment is being withholded, that it does not fall upon us. In other words, mercy is something not given to us that we do deserve. We deserve judgment. We deserve death in our sin, but God in His mercy withheld that, and He became sin for us that knew no sin. That's God's mercy. So we are saved by His love and His grace, His mercy, all this put together. And so all this, we see that we need to live by the same product that we're saved by. The reason why people are just frustrated in their Christian life is because they continue their Christian life with the law, with trying to do good, trying to impress God. It's called legalism. And God doesn't want you to live that way. God wants you to be liberated in Christ, that you walk with God, and that you grow in grace. So what does it mean to grow in grace? Well, growing grace means that you grow in God's love. Grace is something given to you which you don't deserve, and God's given us a lot of things pertaining unto godliness to live the Christian life. And so you need to grow in God's love. How do you do that? Well, look, notice 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be what? Together. Grace and peace be what? Okay, how? Through the what? The knowledge of God. So grace and peace is multiplied through the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I really believe if you're going to grow by grace, you need to simply be growing in God's love. You need to know that. You need to know that God loves you. You know, God's love today is being misinterpreted, especially from the ungodly. And sometimes the ungodly, when you challenge them about getting right with God, they begin to throw things at you and try to, tarnish God's love and God's character. Many people today have a false impression of His love. Some people think that if God truly loved them, that He will tolerate their sinful lifestyle. He'll accept them just the way they are. If they love boys, then if a boy loved boys, then leave them alone. If a girl loves a girl, leave her alone. That's just the way she is. She's left-handed. I don't know if you've heard that commercial. Just someone emailed it to me. I don't know. Yeah, it was through an email about a commercial being pictured where people that are born left-handed are born left-handed, and they don't know. They've been teased and bullied at school for being left-handed. And the conclusion is, just leave them alone. They were born that way, and they're trying to say that being gay is by birth. And the point is that some of these people say, when you speak to them, they'll say, no, God truly loved me. They'll accept me for who I am. You know, the devil tried to do that the same way to Eve in the beginning. He tried to get Adam and Eve to doubt God's love for them. You say, how? Well, the devil said, Have God said? God knows from the day you eat from this fruit, God knows that you should be as gods. See, God's holding back from you. He's holding back. He doesn't want you to have a good time. He doesn't want you to have a good life. He doesn't want you to live in abundance. And that's what he does today. He tries to think that, oh, God's putting all these things and don't love the world and don't do this and don't do that and live a godly life and follow after this and follow after that. And the devil says to you, and he whispers every now and then, he says, you know what, God just doesn't love you. He just doesn't want you to have fun. You know, it was on the contrary. God gave Eve and Adam more than one option. By the way, he said from every tree you can eat of except this one here. And he warned them from the tree that would actually destroy him. Now, I don't know about you, but that's love. God says you can eat from every tree, but the one that's going to kill you, don't touch it. And he warns them about that one. Another way that people misunderstand God's love is, God truly loved you, then why does he allow things to happen to you, health problems, and how come there's so much famine in the world and people dying from poverty and war and divorce and people being just simply mistreated? Why are babies dying? Well, you can't blame God for the sinful actions of humanity. There's no way in the world that you can blame God for those things. The Bible says, for out of the heart are the issues of life. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. It's out of the heart that simply cause destruction. It's like I said, this one's illustration. If you were driving, a man was driving along one day on a 40 zone, school zone, and he was going 80 and he hits one of your siblings, what would you do? Would you blame the government for that? Seriously. Or would you blame the driver? You'd blame the driver. Why would you blame the government? As a matter of fact, the government's doing all that they can to try to get you slowed down on the 40 zone. Right? And so why would you blame the government for the wicked action that this man broke the law? Why would you do that? You wouldn't do that. So why do people today try to distort God's character and love for us from someone else's sinful actions and pride and all the rest of it? The way that you can be multiplied in grace given to you is when you see God's love for you. But God's love in this world today has been distorted. And the reason why some Christians don't get up and love God the way they should is because they can't see God's love for them. Remember that woman that simply washed the Savior's feet with the tears that went down her face? You say, why? Because she loved him. She realized that God had forgiven her. And all she cared was the fact that her Savior was there. All she cared was that, this is my Savior. He forgave me. He knows all. And all the rest of these people knew her by name. Her name was a sinner. She understood God's love that moved her to her knees. And the only way that you and I are going to be growing in grace is when we grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave that you may live. Because sin destroys the relationship between God and man. And everyone born in Adam has a severed relationship. There's a wall there. There's a barrier because of sin. And that you and I right now, if you're not saved, there's a barrier. And that barrier, the only way it could be broken is by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that died on the cross to save mankind from their sin. He came to give new life in Christ. In Adam, we're all dead. In Christ, we've been made alive. That's why you can't get saved by your good works. The Bible says that, Paul the Apostle says this, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And what Paul the Apostle is trying to say is this. The grace of God, I'm not going to frustrate it. I'm not going to hinder it. I'm not going to put it aside and follow the Ten Commandments as best as I can. Because if that was true, and if I can please God by my own efforts and by trying to impress God by my own deeds, then why did Christ die for? And when he died and you believed on him, he gives you the Holy, no talking, please, no talking. When he died and he gives you the Holy Spirit, you become born again. And through the Spirit of God, you begin to walk to please God. Because no man can please God in the flesh. No man can please God by their duties, their works. Even in the Christian life. When you grow, when you have convictions and you have standards, by the way, your standards don't make you holy. When you compare and you say, oh, I've got this standard, this person has this standard, doesn't make you holier than them. It's the heart attitude. Why do you have those standards? Why do you have those convictions? And it's only by the grace of God that you and I can grow. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, growing that He loves you and me. Let me ask you a question that will help you. Was God obligated to give us an opportunity to experience life? Did He have to? Did God have to create you? No, He didn't. He didn't have to, but He did. You say, why? I'll tell you why. He loves you. Was God compelled to give you taste buds to taste good food? He didn't have to, but He gave you food with taste buds so you can enjoy it. You say, why? Because God loves you. Absolutely. Did God have to give you a family, friends, and brothers and sisters, if you have some, to enjoy life with? No. But He did. Say, why? Because He loves you. Did God have to come all the way from heaven, leave His throne? He was rich and He became poor. He was a king and He became a servant. And He left heaven's glory to come down like a poor man. To die for the sins of the world, to die for you. Did God have to do that? No. So why? Because He loves you. And to some here tonight, that's wow. I appreciate that love. To others, it's like, yeah, they just want to feed off that. You know, you're not going to grow that way when you miss God. You're not going to grow when you take God's grace for granted. In other words, yeah, I deserve to be loved. Let me say this to you that's going to shock you. You're not God. So stop sitting on your chair as if God's here to serve you and God owes you something. Let me tell you something. God's love is not based on what you think you deserve or what you think you can get from God. God's love is based on who He is and He gives to you because He is love. He doesn't have to. And still people turn their back and they rubbish Him and they treat Him like dirt and He still looks at them pleading with them, I love you. The Bible says, he that spared not his own son, that gave him for all, how much more would He give them that love Him? Now God wants to give you more. And you look back and you think, why do you want to give me more? Why? When you grow in the knowledge of God and His love for you, you begin to grow in grace. And your life changes. But when you take His grace for granted and you know this knowledge about God's love and you abuse it, and you think, God forgives me, no worries, live like the way you want to live. Don't even care. Then you're not going to grow. You're going to stay like a little baby, sucking on your thumb as a Christian, if you are a Christian. But you need to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another way to grow is not only in the knowledge of how much He loves you, but you need to grow in how much He hates sin. Did you know that God hates sin? You say, how do you know? He was dressed in His blood. You think Christ went on that cross and died for nothing? No. He went on that cross and died and shed his blood because he had to judge sin, because he hates sin and he won't let sin in heaven. God hates it. It stinks. You've got to understand these three statements, though, and you probably know these three statements. One of them is God loves the sinner, but he hates the action of the sinners. Another one is God's love for you is the same no matter what you do. So in other words, whether you obey or disobey, God's love for you is the same. Wow. It doesn't change. So no matter what you try to do to please God, his love doesn't go up or down. It's still the same. But when you obey God and when you yield to God's word and you walk in the Spirit of God, you have an opportunity to please God. You have an opportunity to grow. You have an opportunity to shine for him. You have an opportunity to be an ambassador for Christ. What a privilege that is. You have an opportunity to bring glory to God through your good works, through the Spirit of God. So you can even bring glory to God, or you can bring shame to God. You can please God, or you displease God. God's love for you is always the same. Doesn't change. That's one way that's going to help you grow in grace. Another one is this. As children of God, we are to hate what God hates and love what God loves. And I need to be zealous and passionate about that. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. If you were to grow in grace, you need to love what God loves and you need to hate what God hates. And you need to be passionate about that. Job was passionate. Joseph was passionate. He didn't want to break God's heart. How can I sin against God? How can I do this wickedness and sin against God? How can I break his heart? We need to have the same attitude as Joseph. If this is ungodly and it is against God, then I'm against whatever is against God. I'm going to stand where God is. You know why the world is in such a mess? Because morally, they've moved far away from God. The standards, the little standards that they had, have just been lowered as years gone past. And you know what happens to the Christian? Christians think they're okay because they're not altogether where the world is, but they've moved away from where God is and they think that they're okay. In other words, the world was once here. Christians are here, holy where the Bible is, standing strong on their convictions from God's word. They're separate from the world. The only time that we are reaching the world is when we want to love the world to bring them to Christ. But we don't do what they do. We don't listen to what they listen. We don't watch what they watch. We're separate. We don't sing how they sing. And so we're holy as he is holy. We stand right here. But as time has progressed and perilous times are coming and have come, the world has shifted with its culture and the tolerance of wicked sin along with it is shifting. And then what the Christian does then, because the world's over there, they stand over here thinking that they're okay because they're not where the world is right now. The world's gone really bad, like really bad. But I'm over here, I'm not that bad. But guess what happens? You're gone. You're not where you're supposed to be and you're shifted. And this is the thing, you're not comparing godliness by the standard of where God is, you're comparing it where the world is. You see what I'm saying? But when you stand here, I love that theme song. Good choice. Make me a stranger. I'm telling you, in this wicked society that we live in right now, when you stand with God, you cannot help but feel like a stranger. You cannot help but feel alienated. You cannot help but feel like a pilgrim passing through. You cannot help it. It just happens. People think you're weirdos. Yeah. Fanatics. I wonder who's the fanatic when they go to their sports games and colour their hair and colour their face and wave flags in their hair for a little ball that goes from one end to the other. Who's the fanatic? Who's weird? I have a living God that I worship. I don't chant and worship a ball that runs from one end to another. That's an idol. That's the modern day idol. They call us weird. Some of them are lost. I was one of these people. Hate what God hates. The Bible says, lay aside sin. What kind of sins? Well, notice in 1 Peter 2:1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all what? What is it? And hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings. Lay them aside. What's malice? Malice is the desire to injure. Guile is to trick, like bait. Always up to no good. Always try to trap someone. Always try to manipulate to get an advantage against someone. They want to walk on them. Okay? What's hypocrisy? It's a stage player. Someone that lives a double life. Lives in the world. Has one foot in the world and one foot there with God. Double life, hypocrisy, stage player, envies. This is stronger than jealousy. What happened to Joseph? He was sold into slavery. As a matter of fact, the thought of killing him and getting rid of him. And what else? And evil speaking. What's evil speaking? Backbiting, gossiping, lying, profanity. God says, I want you to lay these aside. Lay them aside. Evil speaking can also be about jesting. You know what? Jesting in the Bible is making fun or making jokes. I don't mind a little humor, but look, let me tell you something. Especially in the context of camps. Have a little fun, but never have it over someone else's expense. I beg you. Have a little fun, but never tease people's facial figures, expressions, or different things like that in a nasty way. You say, well, you know, they could take a joke. I can. Maybe they can't. Some people just are going through a lot in their life. They're hurting. They probably have a broken home. And the last thing they want is you to just keep teasing and putting pressure on them when they're just seriously wanting to get right with God and seriously wanting to follow the Lord. And everything to you is just a joke. Think about that. I heard about a story about a loving married daughter that purchased a hearing aid for her aged mother. To the daughter's keen disappointment, she learned that her mother seldom used it. When she visited her mother, she would quickly put the hearing aid until her daughter left. Finally, the daughter asked her mother, "Why do you seldom use the hearing aid that I bought you? Isn't it good?" She said, "Oh no, my darling daughter, the hearing aid is just fine. It's the people. I can't bear to hear them. I had forgotten how they talked. I had forgotten the awful things that they say and the cruel cutting criticism. Oh, that people's tongue could be curbed." Later, the daughter said, "As my dear mother thus sounded off, she took off her hearing aid and pressed it into my lap and pleaded, 'Take it away, take it away.' And her burden was gone at last. She sat up and beamed with delight. Blessed is the death." Wow. Imagine desiring to be deaf because you don't want to hear the cutting criticism from your own brethren. Hey, you're going to get it from the world. There's no doubt about that. It's always going to come from the world. They're going to say all sorts of things about you. You're going to bear the reproach for Christ's sake. But when it comes from your brethren, it's hard. We need to lay that aside. If you're going to grow in grace and you're going to grow in, as a Christian, you need to grow in grace. The Bible says, "And death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Lastly, if we're going to grow in grace, we need to form godly convictions. Notice what the Bible says. "As newborn babes, do desire the sincere milk of the word that you may" what? What is it? "That you may grow thereby." How does a baby desire sincere the milk? How does the baby cry out for it? How? It screams its lungs out until it gets the milk. And God says, I want you to desire God's word that way. I want you to be just thirsting after righteousness and craving God's word. You know, when you form God-given convictions in your life, that proves that you have a walk with God. And when I say God-given convictions, that means God working through His word in your life. They're not just your parents' convictions, they're your own conviction. You have your own personal walk with God. I want to help you here tonight in the 5 minutes. In the next 5 minutes, you say, what's a principle? Okay? Principle is God's truth to live by. We get principles from the Word of God. And a conviction is being convinced to live by God's truth. In other words, the principle is convicts my heart and convinces me to live the truth which God has. So that's a principle, that's a conviction, and then the standard is action taken by God's grace to keep the principle. Okay, does that make sense? Let's have an illustration. Go to Psalms 101. Psalm 101. Psalm 101. Psalm 101 verse 3, the Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. And then Matthew, Jesus says, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. What's the principle? The principle here is the principle of vision, what I see. And the conviction is, I'm convinced from God's word that I have to remove anything that gets in the way that is wicked from my eyes. I'm going to remove it. So now I have to set up standards.